Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Good afternoon. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace today on this Memorial Day. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, hey, give me a call at 844-500-4242. I know Kamala Harris thinks this is just a three-day weekend. Did you see that tweet over the weekend where she said, enjoy your weekend? Yes, well, she just thinks it's another three-day weekend. That's what you get when you elect hacks. Just going to put it out there. But for the rest of us patriots, we know it's a day to remember our fallen heroes, those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation to protect our freedoms. And it got me thinking, for all those that have sacrificed so much, I mean, I've been to the Arizona Memorial out in Hawaii, and it just has such an impact on you to see that the oil is still leaking a little bit and that so many souls were trapped down there. If you haven't been out there, it's sometime if you get to go to Hawaii, you got to go and see Pearl Harbor. It really kind of pulls at your heartstrings. And you think about how much people have sacrificed for our nation and our freedoms and to give us this great world. And you got to think, like, those guys that lost their lives, what would they think of now? Jared, what would they be thinking? I mean, with this whole culture where we attack our Second Amendment rights and our First Amendment rights, what would you think that they would be thinking down there?
Possibly, like, what? Why did we even do this? Like, what did we fight for? This is what it's going to come to.
Right, we're going to socialism, and
this is what we were trying to stop.
Right, we're trying to stop, and now we've got people within our own government pushing this terrible agenda. I think most of them would say is what a failure of our school systems. I would think that would be definitely one of the things that they would say, but they would be offended by the threats on our Second Amendment rights, our First Amendment rights. You get fired for going to the rally, the Trump rally. And I know, I'm mentioning the rally, but hey, people went to the rally. They respected our laws. There were a couple of some bad people. But overall, 99% of the people that were there were good people, but people that went to the rally have been bullied off of Facebook. They've been bullied in their jobs. People have had to change their careers because of it, and because they expressed their support for a candidate. For a candidate. You get fired for expressing your opinion. I mean, you saw, what was it, a week ago, the guy that's on the Space Force got fired for having an opinion. He can't have an opinion. I this wokeness culture. Okay, let me just say, really, Snow White? Snow White's under attack? The prince can't kiss Snow White? If you don't get the story, she's dead if he doesn't kiss her. Let me just point that out. I think is dead is better than a microaggression of him kissing her. Well, I mean, come on. Really?
Better dead than the patriarchy.
Right. I mean, she's dead. Come on, people. You can't go through Splash Mountain anymore. That's racist. I mean, if you've been through Splash Mountain, it's not racist. I get it. The song is south. People have a problem with the movie. But the song's not bad. Zippity-doo-dah is bad. I don't get that, okay? Ted Cruz called a racist because he says Wuhan Lab is responsible for releasing the pandemic on us. But he's a racist because he said that thing. I mean, I thought after I did think you know, I did the campaign against Elizabeth Warren. I just thought, everything's racist back then. Now everything's even more racist that they call us. When does this mantra run out? Is there a timetable? Does this expire like milk at some point because it's been overused? I mean, certainly I never want to hear the words social distancing again. Never, ever want to hear it again. I can't stand it. All the little things are taken off the ground. I can't stand, we got a social distance. Really? Give me a break. Instead of how about this, the other thing that I think the veterans would be upset that sacrificed their lives. Instead of being taught reading, writing, arithmetic, the Constitution, our history about democracy, no, we're teaching critical race theory in the schools. Basically, making the next generation, I'm sorry, they're creating race division within the next generation by doing this. This is nuts. This is nuts. And that's just if the teachers want to go back to school. My understanding is they just don't want to go back to school. Our freedoms have been trampled for 1 year. And look at what those guys that in World War II, how much, in the Vietnam War, how much they put on the line to protect us. And we are just, we can't walk around without a mask on. We can't conduct business because the government tells us we can't. I don't know. God forbid we mention anything about the 2020 elections. You get banned off of Twitter and Facebook. So my question to you out there, and our number is 844-500-4242, have we held up our end of the bargain to those veterans who have sacrificed so much for our country? Have we done our part in protecting our freedoms and electing good people? Have we done our part? I think they'd probably be disappointed in us. And that's why one thing I have a lot of people say, I agree with you, Holly, but I could never post that on Facebook or Twitter. Why not? What? So some people are going to be upset because if you said something on Facebook and Twitter? I personally haven't been banned. And I kind of find that insulting that I have not been banned from Facebook yet. I mean, how I haven't ended up in Facebook jail, I mean, I'm kind of disappointed in myself. But for people to say that they're not willing to talk to their neighbors, to talk to, to post anything on Facebook or Twitter because they're afraid of the pushback. Think about the veterans right now who have given up their lives to protect our freedoms, and you don't have the guts to tell your neighbor, you know what? I don't think we should have to wear masks. You know what? I don't think we should be picking on Snow White. I mean, have some gumption out there. Stand up. Protect our country. This is really bad what's happening, and that they feel that, the silencing, the canceling culture. The reason why we can be canceled is because we're not speaking out. We're all fearful. And I get it. Nobody likes that awkward, uncomfortable conversation. And we gotta avoid it over Thanksgiving. We gotta avoid politics. But you really can't with what's going on in our nation. We are losing our freedoms, my friends. We are in a terrible place in our nation right now where people can be banned for talking about things, having disagreement. And somebody approached me and said, maybe we should talk about civility when I'm on the radio today. Civility starts with being able to have a conversation. And if you're scared that you're going to be beat up, then the civility is never going to happen. We've got to stand our ground. We don't have to be rude about it. We don't have to call people names about it. We just got to stand our grounds. Personally, I love there are some people that are doing some pretty creative Facebook posts out there where I love the one where the Mary Tyler Moore one. Have you seen that one, Jared? The Mary Tyler Moore one where she used to toss her beret up in the air it says, now you're free, right? And she tosses in a mask. You're going to make it after all. I love that one. I thought that was really kind of creative out there. But it's scary. And when you've got our vice president, the second in command, saying enjoy your weekend, not knowing what this is all about. And I know she tried to spin it afterwards, but it gives you the true sense of who Kamala Harris is. And as we progress today, Jared, I might be talking about, is she the dumbest person in the Biden administration? Which is pretty hard. Is she, right? Is she?
That's kind of like the 27 Yankees of dumb people. I mean, there's just no soft spots in that administration. Wow.
She's got some real dumb ideas. Now, I think Joe's not dumb. I think he's just medically challenged, shall we say? I think that's the best way of putting it. I hate to think that, you know, it seems to be some form of dementia, doesn't it? Yeah. Anyways, I am glad to be filling in for Grace today on this Memorial Day. Hope everybody's taking a couple minutes out of their day to remember our fallen heroes. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, our number is 844-500-4242. Got so much to talk about. And don't forget to check out the poll question today. It's one of my favorite ones. Who should shut up? So I'm not trampling on anybody's First Amendment rights, but I do think that some people might want to just stop talking. I know the liberals would think of that of me. Anyways, glad to be here. Glad to be with Jared. We'll be right back after this short break.
She's never held office, but she paid the whiskey priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley on this Memorial Day. I hope you're taking a moment to reflect upon those who've sacrificed so much for our nation. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, our number is 844-500-4242. Before we go to the phone lines, we have today's poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Howie Carr Show store. Need a gift for Father's Day? Go to thehowiecarshow.com, click on store, and browse through all the cheap bastard deals. Love them. Just going to say love them, including deals on camping, landscaping. Oh, we need a new landscaper. Car washes, firearm courses, and much more. And don't forget to pick up a couple of Howie Carr books. They are all terrific, just in case you didn't know, while you're there. Go to howiecarshow.com, click on store to get to your dad's perfect Father's Day gift. Jared, what is the poll question today, and how are we doing on it?
Who should shut up? Dr. Fauci, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, AOC, or Prince Harry?
Okay, who do you think should shut up?
I am going to say Kamala Harris.
Really?
Number one for me. Just
you just don't want to hear?
I don't want to hear.
Okay, see, I'd say I just don't want to hear that laugh anymore. To a certain extent, I kind of like hearing from her, kind of for the humor. No more. That's like fingernails on a chalkboard. The one that should shut up, right? If I was him, I would shut up, is Dr. Fauci, because I believe he's getting himself into a lot of hot water, but I'm not for him to shut up. The one that I really, really, really want him to shut up is Prince Harry. I've had it. Just shut up, you privileged prince, right? I mean, give us a break. I mean, did you see this article over the weekend? Prince Harry blasts the world as depressing. Really? As you what, live in a multi-million dollar home? I mean,
I'm sure everything looks depressing when you're looking down from Mount Olympus.
It's depressing. I mean, this guy is so privileged and it's depressing. Oh, poor Prince Harry, right? So I just think he should shut up. I don't know. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Bob, you're on next with Holly Robichaud. Good afternoon, Bob, and happy Memorial Day.
Good afternoon and happy Memorial Day. Two things. The first thing I want to say about the poll, I'd have to do an asterisk and throw Charlie Baker on it because I can't stand that monotone gibberish that he puts out there every day.
Yep, we probably should add that one in.
Yeah.
Good point,
Aside
Bob.
Aside from that, I just want to say this. There's plenty of entrepreneurs out there. Somebody needs to pick up their money and invest it in a company that goes directly against Facebook and calls it unmasked Facebook and allows people, like, you take, like, a third of the people away from Facebook, you drop that company down to where it needs to be, and you'd have a huge company that people would be allowed to say what they could say. And I think unmasked Facebook would be a good name for it because it lets you say what you got to say. You don't have to hide behind a mask. You can say what you want. And I think you'd have a pretty profitable company real quick, and you'd have a lot of good advertisers too.
Well, Bob, I love that idea. And I thought Parler was going to be the competition, but they've had so many starts and stops. And, you know, the first stop was not their fault because I believe it was Amazon that kicked them off their domain and shut them down. And now they've had some other glitches on that. Then I was like, well, okay, Trump's going to create his own social network. And I was wondering if it was going to be kind of like Facebook or kind of like Twitter, and it's more of a blog. And I'm still hoping that Trump's going to come out with something, because if Trump comes out with something, you know that everybody's going to go and follow and real right away take a lot of, you know, their customers right away from that if he was to do something to that extent. But yeah. But unfortunately, I do a lot of consulting for campaigns. Unfortunately, Facebook is still a force. And I have to tell candidates, yeah, you still got to spend some money on Facebook because you got to be talking to voters. But Bob, I would love to see competition out there. I really would.
Holly, you just said it though. They got to spend money on Facebook. So there's an entrepreneur out there listening, you know, start an anti-Facebook thing and get their money. They have to spend money on Facebook. Let them spend it on unmasked Facebook and start their own thing. And I'm telling you, people would go to it. I haven't been on Facebook in years. I hate it. I think it's the most ridiculous social media site in the world. I think it's asinine, but anyway.
Well, I hear you, Bob. I hear you. Some people do a little too much posting out there, and There was a movie I was watching recently where this guy was talking about how much he had done, and she's like, "Well, your Instagram account must be just fabulous." And he's like, "No, I kind of just do things and I don't put it on social media." And the woman goes, "How do people know what you're doing? Like, who cares? Who cares if you're living life?" I don't know, but I know Jared is always on Facebook. He's just
constantly,
he's posting every little thought every time he goes to a restaurant, like, look at my food. I'm kidding, but it's unfortunate that it's a fact of life that I still have to tell clients that too many people are still on Facebook and that they need to advertise on it. I'm hoping that Parler is gonna overtake it. So anyways, Jared, that's the music, so we'll be right back after this short break. You won't want to miss the next segment.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
We're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley today on this Memorial Day. If you want to be part of the conversation, please give us a call at 844-500-4242. One of the most important things that we need to do is win back Congress in 2022. During the break, Jared was serenading me with quotes and bits from Nancy Pelosi, which was just, once again, like fingernails on a chalkboard. Ay, ay, ay. We have to take back Congress. This is pretty serious. That is the one way we can stop the Biden administration, and they have to be stopped. I mean, have they done anything right? I mean, they've canceled the pipeline. They've got open borders. They're spending trillions and trillions of dollars. I just can't think of anything that they've done right since getting elected. But the road for winning Congress, taking it back, it actually goes through New Jersey. That's right. It's going to go right through New Jersey, the New Jersey 11th District. That district was previously held by a Republican. It's now held by this woman called Mickey Sherrill. You're probably wondering who she is. You might have heard her name, but let me just refresh your memory. Right after the rally, the January 6th rally, there was a congresswoman who was saying that there were GOP members that were stalking the place, casing the joint for the Capitol before the riots. And that's Mickey Sherrill. Yeah, that was her. And she's got to go. And just in case you didn't think that was bad enough, AOC and Andrew Cuomo are funding her campaign. So I thought today we'd have one of those rising stars on that's running for the New Jersey 11th District. It is a must-win seat under all conditions. We have to win the seat if we want to take back Congress. And so joining us right now on the line is Hillary Brochel. Good afternoon, Hillary.
Good afternoon, Holly. Thank you so much for having me on and for that fantastic intro. I really appreciate it.
Well, I think people need to know how important your district is. Now, you are one of the youngest women running for Congress. How old are you?
I'm 29 years old.
Right.
And I believe that Washington needs young leadership, young conservative leadership. So I'm trying to step up and do what I can.
I love that. Now, you're also a screenwriter and a union member?
I am. I am a member of Screen Actors Guild, and I currently have a film being produced and shot in Poland, which when we set the wheels in motion on that, we didn't imagine that the world would still be shut down and I wouldn't be around for that. But yes, I am a working screenwriter, and that's an interesting industry. Hollywood is a pretty interesting place. So
well, yeah,
I hope
you're
that
coming
prepares
out of
you
a-
well for Washington.
You are like a freak of nature because you're coming out of an extremely left-wing industry. You're also from the younger generation, and you're a conservative running for Congress. I mean, bravo.
Well, thank you. There are conservatives in Hollywood. We tend to keep our heads down and be quiet, but we find each other with a shared look or a glance, and then we'll realize, oh, okay, you're part of the club too. And they do exist.
All right. Well, that's great. So, Hillary, over the weekend, I'm sure you saw the tweet from Kamala Harris, enjoy your weekend. What do you think about that?
Well, I told her what I thought on Twitter, so I'm sure she didn't see it, but it's an embarrassment. It's a complete embarrassment. Her complete contempt and disdain for members of our armed services who sacrifice their lives to defend this country. It's heartbreaking, really, because she holds the second highest position in our country, and she clearly hates our country.
So. Yeah. I saw recently an article. This is what brought it to my attention. Is your opponent, Mickey Sherrill, is under investigation? Can you tell us a little bit about that? And what is she, what's she being investigated for? What did she do?
Are you talking about the ethics probe?
Yes.
That she has currently?
Yes.
Yes. So after the January 6th riots, she made the rounds in the press, and she also did a Facebook Live accusing her Republican colleagues in Congress of sedition, saying that they had cased the place and this was planned, and the Republicans in Congress were the ones who were responsible for it. And after 5 months now, about 5 months, there's still been no evidence. She's offered no evidence. There's been an investigation that has not shown any of her claims to be true. So now she's got an ethics probe going on.
Well, I think that's great. Now, she still has she apologized? I don't believe she has apologized, right?
No.
Because it turns out
not at all. She said nothing about it.
Right. She refuses to talk about it. She's also, now that we're getting past COVID, but she's also one that, didn't she put her husband ahead of everybody for COVID? And we're not talking that she's not one of these older congressional members like Nancy Pelosi that's been there for a lifetime. She's a younger congressperson, and she put her husband ahead of everybody else, correct?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, and her husband already had COVID, by the way. Her husband, I believe, had COVID last spring or last summer. And, you know, when people in our district were still struggling to get vaccinated, I have parents that are both senior citizens that could not get on the list for vaccinations. And she goes on this Rotary Club meeting, of all places, and starts talking about how easy it is to get a vaccination appointment and how her husband, who has no pre-existing conditions, just got to the front of the line. And either it's congressional privilege or she's just extremely tone deaf and completely out of touch with the actual situation on the ground in her district, which is not what you want from a congressperson. But, you know, I'm not surprised. She doesn't even live in our district. She lives in New Jersey's 10th district, and she rented a house and during the election, and after she won, was talking about buying a house. That never happened. The kids still get off the bus at the same $8 million mansion in Montclair.
Oh, wow. Just a person. Yeah. She's just a congressional member of the people, right? She just fits right in there with the people. All right. So you've heard everything going on with Fauci. Are you in favor of firing Fauci, or do you think he should stay on, continue to do the stellar job he's been doing? I say that tongue in cheek.
Oh, my gosh. I've been on the fire Fauci train for a long time. I think probably since the early days of the pandemic, I thought he should have gotten canned. I've compared him to Robespierre in the French Revolution. He's kind of gotten this status and kind of runs this shadow government where he seems to hold the keys to the kingdom. And I don't know how he's gotten to that position, because if you look at his record, if you go all the way back to the 80s and how he's mishandled the AIDS epidemic back in the 80s, the fact that he is so well respected now, it's just shocking to me.
It is shocking, and I'm glad you support Fire Fauci. Okay, another thing, I'm sure you saw over the weekend, or right before the weekend, Biden announced he's going to spend $6 trillion on the next budget. What's your general feeling on that?
I mean, I think he's using monopoly money at this point. It's so irresponsible. And the fact is, this was a manufactured, that our recession that we experienced was a manufactured recession, because when you shut down businesses, what do you expect to happen? So the economy would recover naturally, but what you're doing, and with all this insane spending, you're completely devaluing dollars, you're forcing inflation, so you're actually going to destroy our economy even further. It's completely tragic. And I mean, the only policy that the Biden administration has is just do the opposite of Trump. So that's what they're doing now. And now they're just printing money, and it's not good for our country going forward. And this can't go on for 4 years.
No. And that's why we've got to get you elected. How do people find out more about you? I'm sure people are going to want to ask you about Second Amendment, First Amendment. There's just so many questions to ask. How do people get more information about you? Where do they go? How do they, you know, do they follow you on Twitter, Facebook? Where do they find out more information?
You can follow me on Twitter. You can go to Facebook or visit my website. My name is spelled funny. I'm the good Hillary. So my first name is spelled H-I-L-L-E-R-Y. Last name is Brochol, B-R-O-T-S-C-H-O-L. Or you can just type into your search browser, Hillary for the House, and all my stuff comes up. I'm very active on Twitter. I was listening to your caller, Bob, before about his hatred for Facebook. And while I am on Facebook, I have to agree with him. But I am there, too. So definitely follow me. Check me out. I would love to have you follow me on this journey.
All right, great. Give us that website one more time. And Jared loved that, the good Hillary. He was laughing. He loved that.
people, I get it a lot. A lot of people, when you meet Republicans, they cringe when they hear my first name. But it's Hillerybrotschol.com.
All right. Thank you, Hillary, for joining us today. And have a good rest of your day. Really appreciate you tuning in. Good luck with your race.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. You guys have a great rest of your day.
All right, great. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. We'll be right back after these short messages.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley today. Just going to ask you, Jared, did you go out this weekend?
Didn't go out. I went over to my parents. We had a nice family get together.
Did you hug people?
We hugged people. We had more than six people indoors.
All right.
We ate food. Somebody actually sang. If I had a basketball, I would have played basketball. It was Charlie Bacon's nightmare.
We went out to a couple places this weekend, and one of the places we stopped at, the first place we stopped at, the bar, there was no plexiglass. There was none. And this isn't a place we usually go, so we didn't really know that many people, but everybody just seemed to be in a really good mood. And there was no plexiglass. You could sit at the bar. My husband's like, oh, we haven't sat in a bar for over a year, right? And so we're kind of happy about it. And we only counted, only three people walked into the restaurant. It was a pretty busy restaurant with masks on. And we're like, okay. And all I could think of is the rest of you that are maskless, why didn't you say anything during, why didn't you kind of protest this? And once again, you got to speak out. And the majority of the people were maskless. And then we went to another place and you should have heard the wait staff. And they were like, we're plexiglass free. The shower curtains dividing the tables are down. We can talk to people. They were like so excited that it was like everything had been lifted. It was a fun atmosphere out there. And I was surprised that even with the bad weather, that people were out there. And I think it was like because it was the first time we could go mask-free, that people were going into these restaurants. But I do feel bad for the Cape because this is a crucial weekend for them, and the kickoff hasn't been so great with the weather. But it just seemed like people were overwhelmingly happy, except we did go down to Falmouth, and the majority of the people were still in masks down there. And then we're like asking around, is Falmouth a little different down here as far as like the rules? And people like, no, it's just Falmouth. It's just Falmouth. Now that we can go to the restaurants maskless, do you think the Massachusetts legislature can go back to work? They did like the budgets through remote. And if you try to debate on the House floor, you have to let them know 24 hours beforehand that you want to debate. But what if somebody says something, you want to rebut it? You can't do that because you haven't let them know for 24 hours. I mean, crazy. So I think that the legislature could possibly go back to work. But, you know, that's just me crazy thinking that maybe, I mean, it's just only one day a week that they work anyway. So I just going to put it out there that maybe they could go back to work. If you call the State House and you call a couple of the committees, they say, we're working remotely and we can't get a hold of you. You know, just leave your number. Somebody will get back to you, right? Really? Really? Okay.
Oh, I have to start making them actually use that per diem travel budget on travel, do you, Holly?
I know. Okay. I think, though, it's going to get a little harder for the Democrats to say that they can't go back to the State House because they are planning an in-person convention in September. So people will. So anyways, the reason why I bring this up is I just think this, I feel bad for the Cape businesses with this weather. And now they're facing this employment crisis where every business that you go to has a huge sign up, you know, that they've got jobs, apply, apply, apply. These businesses just cannot seem to get a break. And where is Governor Baker? And now Sununu, gotta love Sununu. Sununu did the right thing and said, we're not taking the federal. We're not taking the federal, so that people would have to go back to work. But not here in Massachusetts. No, 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 we can't possibly do that. And let me just say, these businesses need the help. And why their cries are falling on deaf ears by this governor, just I find it appalling. They, for the past year, they have been shut down. They've been mandated up the yin-yang. They've had more expenses put on them. They've been told they could only have 25% people in there. And yet now they need the employment. They need people to come back to work. And it's like, hello, hello, Beacon Hill, anybody there? No, they don't care. They don't care. And what people don't get is that they say, well, you know, they're collecting unemployment insurance and they think the taxpayers pay for that. Let me clue you in. The taxpayers don't pay for unemployment insurance. It is the businesses that pay for the unemployment insurance. So they're paying for people and they're going to get a tax increase to refund, to build up the unemployment insurance fund. So they're going to get a tax increase to pay, you know, to get that fund back up. Yet they can't get people to work. They're paying people. They're paying higher taxes so people don't have to work. I mean, is that crazy? And nobody seems to care at the State House? Okay, so Julian Sear, just have to mention him. He's the senator down the Cape. He was like, this just didn't sound like it was like Cape Cod open. Sear said, vaccinated travelers may also want to keep their Center for Disease and Control Prevention vaccine cards available because number of businesses, particularly those offering indoor group activities like dance clubs and busy bars, might require them. Nothing says, I mean, does he not understand he represents the Cape? And he should be like, come on down. Anyways, we're going to be discussing this when we come back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. Stay tuned.